We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Well, buddy boy, I want you to get excited here.
It wasn't a matter of when, it was a matter of who and exactly when. And if you had Cleveland in your pool, I guess we should have known.
Well, I think there were probably three options for Kareem Hunt that were pretty good ones just
Chicago,
by
Chicago, Cleveland,
Philadelphia.
Philadelphia.
Yeah. Right? Just by connecting dots, you know, like we always like to do in sports. Well, so-and-so's got a friend who coaches at Baylor, so look for him to go to Baylor, potentially, to be the, you know, whatever down there.
It's been a while since I did a good connect the dots.
Yeah, but this was a good one, right? Did you really need to think that far out of the box? Like, you knew Kareem Hunt was going to sign somewhere. Very good football player, right? Very good football player. Terrible human being, but very good football player.
Rarely coincide.
That is true. They knew he was going to sign somewhere. You knew he was going to go and play. You know, he's 23 years old, got a lot of football left in him. You know, get through this negative part of his life, and he'll go on and be a very nice football player and a fine citizen for the great state of Ohio. But Kareem Hunt, you knew he was going to go to probably one of three places. We heard a lot of Chicago scuttlebutt coming out, and you know, I was kind of perplexed, to be honest with you, Josh, that this was the first big move of the NFL offseason. I mean, the Super Bowl, what, 9 days ago now as we sit here, right? 9 days ago we had the Super Bowl, and the first big move of the NFL offseason is Kareem Hunt, and it goes to show you that the Cleveland Browns were not the only team that were bidding for his services, and they swooped in and they got the deal done before anybody else could, you know, make a move and sign Kareem Hunt. So they got kind of ahead of this whole thing. And I don't think they signed Kareem Hunt necessarily for this year because he's looking at, we're hearing, what, 10 to 12 game suspension potentially for this guy. But more importantly, for the future, he's a restricted free agent after this year. And that means the Cleveland Browns have the first right of refusal on any contract that he gets offered. And so this was more of a futuristic 2020 type of signing, I think, anyway, more so than a 2019 signing for the Cleveland Browns, because he has more of an opportunity to help them in the future than he does right now here in the present, because we're still looking at a suspension. But it just goes to show
you. But if you're going from
you,
that standpoint, you see, you lock up his rights. You see if he does everything he needs to do to get himself back in a position to be reinstated by the league and all those things. And if not, you cut.
Cut bait. Yeah, you're in $1 million. There's not a whole lot here to lose.
There's not
right?
a lot of hurt.
Except, if you know, your face for a while, but
yeah,
whatever.
But nobody cares. We put up a poll. 70% of you wanted him back as a Chief. I mean, nobody cares about it. I'd love to just pound my fist and say, don't you care about domestic violence? You don't.
You don't. Fans don't care.
Until fans do, it doesn't matter. Fans cared about kneeling, so the NFL cared.
Right.
Fans don't care about domestic violence, so the NFL doesn't care about domestic violence. So I knew he was going to play again.
Sure.
Just a matter of where. And, you know, I don't know if staying in Cleveland's the best situation for him.
I mean, his father was only arrested some 35 times, Josh.
Just go ahead and Google Kareem Hunt's dad.
Yeah.
And there's a story. The first story that pops up is one about his entire family.
Right.
And his entire family has a litany of stuff that have been criminally happening around the Cleveland area.
I mean, that family is a menace to Northeast Ohio.
Father, like, uncle, mother.
All of them.
Cousins,
whole group.
Yep. They've interviewed a whole bunch of them, too, that had been incarcerated.
All jail.
I mean, it sounds like that, you know, hey, keep him in that environment. Sounds kind of smart. So, of all places, he's going to be Cleveland. And the major incident that precipitated everything happened at a Cleveland hotel.
Well, oh, yes. Two of the three incidents that he's been, you know, kind of, I don't want to use the term charged with, but two of the three incidents that we know about with Kareem Hunt happened in the Cleveland area. One happened in a you know, kind of a Lake of the Ozarks type resort in Cleveland, Ohio, just outside of Cleveland. The other one happened, obviously, in that hotel in Cleveland, Ohio. The other one happened, obviously, here in Kansas City after the game last year against the Tennessee Titans. And, you know, bringing him back home, I think, is this is not a, I don't believe, a good move for Kareem Hunt, the the person. Let's think about Kareem Hunt, the person, here for a second before we think about John Dorsey, the general manager who will take a chance on anybody and bring them into the National Football League and bring him on his team. But let's talk about Kareem Hunt, the person. The best thing for Kareem Hunt, the person, was getting the hell out of Cleveland and getting the hell out of the Toledo area and going somewhere like Kansas City where he didn't have to be infected by his father and his uncle and his mother and his cousins and his aunts and anybody that is related to him, because they've all been in jail. He has not had solid role models to grow up around. He was growing up around criminals and horrible, horrible people. And that was what he looked at. That's what he was raised with. His dad was in jail, I'm not kidding you, 35 times, and multiple domestic violence charges against the father. And so putting him back in a situation like that, where, you know, you're bringing him back to where the problem manifested and started, because that's how he grew up, seeing all of this, thinking that was the way you did things, and now putting him back into that environment, I think it's a very bad move by the Cleveland Browns. If I was the Cleveland Browns, I would have looked at it and said, oh boy, I'd like to have him as a football player, but if we bring him back here, how's he going to stay clean? Because we know what happens. Guys go back to their families all the time. They revert back to the way they used to be when they get back into these situations. And Kareem Hunt is being put back into a situation that wasn't good. I think the quote was a miracle, his aunt said, or something like that, that he was able to get out and not get into trouble when he was growing up because of everything that he was, you know.
Other relatives that had been in trouble said the same thing.
Yeah.
He was our success story. He got out, man.
He got out. And now.
Oh, no, he's not.
The Cleveland Browns are bringing him back into that situation, and that's just a bad move. Kareem Hunt, I believe, in my opinion, will probably have another incident. He will probably end up doing something he regrets, and he probably won't be a great player in the NFL anytime soon. And I will blame the Cleveland Browns for that, because a lot of that is circumstance. And the Cleveland Browns should have backed away from signing Kareem Hunt, because you don't want to put a guy who escaped trouble and got out of the trouble situations back into those troubled situations. Because when Kareem Hunt came home and had downtime and he came back to Cleveland, what happened? He got into trouble, and he comes from a family of trouble, and the Browns as an organization are putting him back closer to that family, to those family members that caused all that trouble, and it's going to be tough. How do you tell your mom no? How do you tell your dad no? How do you tell your cousins no? How do you tell your aunts and uncles no? How do you tell your brothers and sisters no? He's going to be surrounded by just negative, bad people by being back in Cleveland, and I don't believe the situation lends itself to Kareem Hunt being a successful player in the NFL. His best bet was to go to Seattle or to Minnesota or to Jacksonville or to somewhere where the folks that infested him as he was growing up are nowhere to be found. And they put him back in a situation that couldn't have been worse for Kareem Hunt than bringing him back to Cleveland. I just don't think the Browns are giving him an opportunity to really shed this and achieve success. Not that I'm rooting for Kareem Hunt, because I'm not. I'm not a fan of people who commit domestic violence, and we saw it live on TV or on videotape of him kicking a girl.
Or if you don't want to say domestic violence, head, kicking a woman.
Kicking a woman.
I know this way, so it's not domestic violence, guys. Okay, whatever. You don't care about guys that
let's not split hairs here.
I know. You don't care about... The NFL fan does not care about guys that hit women. Mm-mm. They don't care.
They don't
care
at all.
You don't care. You want them back.
Right.
Okay. So the NFL is there with open arms to bring them back.
It's fine.
So
give a guy a second chance, right?
So,
right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Except if you kneel and support your constitutional rights,
absolutely.
Then you don't get a second
chance. And then the whole, John Dorsey. I mean, we're just trying to create better people. No, you're not.
No, you're not,
you're,
John.
You're picking up a
John
guy.
John Dorsey has the morals of an alley cat.
They all do. I'm just saying you're picking up a guy because he's a really good football player. You could help mentor somebody without bringing them back to the NFL.
Yeah.
If you really, really, really cared about Kareem Hunt, if you're John Dorsey.
Uh-huh.
Or anybody. You could help him.
Sure.
You can help him all you want.
Yeah.
And it has nothing to do with football.
No.
If you truly care about the person and making a better man, you could do it without re-signing him to your team.
You
we just
to.
Heard from you Brett could... Veach last week how they've been in contact with Kareem Hunt, asking him how the processes are going, asking him what he's doing.
He's not with the team.
That
seems
with
like
the team.
They've done a really nice thing. We're trying to be helpful. We're trying to reach out. We're trying to do these things. You're not part of our team anymore, but we're going to try to do that. That's mm-hmm. that's how you can help somebody.
I would hope that would stop now that he's a member of the Cleveland Browns.
And you could do that, but you know, John Dorsey's just going to help people.
In any situation like this, what you attempt to do is get your facts, understand the situations involved, understand who the person who drives that person. Again, I keep coming back to this. There are no guarantees. You are going to have to earn the trust in this situation. And I truly believe that he will be a better man moving forward than he was in the past.
I hope that's the case.
But what gives you that belief? Why do you believe that he's going to be a better man moving forward than he was in the past? In the past, he was a very violent human being off the field that comes from a family of very violent human beings that have been incarcerated, you know, 35 times, just his dad alone. So what gives you the ability to sit there and say you feel he's going to be a better person moving forward? Because he sat there and told you that so he could get a job back in the National Football League? It's just not something I'm buying right now. I don't buy much of what John Dorsey sells. I mean, that guy is a snake oil salesman. I mean, you listen to what the stuff that he said yesterday, that he took full responsibility for this. No, he didn't. He didn't take full responsibility for it until almost a year later when the tapes surfaced, and then he had to come clean after lying to his employer about what went on.
And he's had a couple months to get rehab. He's better now.
Every time you go through these very difficult situations and these types of actions, you have to study everything from the person, for sure the person, and then find out, are they willing to be better people moving forward? And again, this happens to be one of those situations where at the end of the day, the organization was comfortable moving forward with signing this player.
Why?
60,000 hours.
Yeah. Do you believe anything that John Dorsey says?
I don't believe much that most
GMs say.
No,
yeah. I mean, I know.
It's business.
But him in particular,
it's business. Can we weather the storm of the controversy long enough to get the good football player? That's all he really cares.
That's all he cares about. But you know what, Josh?
And they believe they can. So that's why he signed. You sign a Kareem Hunt because you believe you can get through all the other stuff, mm-hmm. all the other noise, and at the end of it, get a football player that's really good.
Yeah, you hope 24 hours it comes and goes and moves on. And
I'd rather just say that.
Yeah,
just say that out loud.
We know this is a bad dude, but quite honestly, you guys as fans don't care. We've seen the polls. We've seen the results.
We'll get it through the legal process we need to. We'll get it through the commissioner's office. We'll weather the suspension. At the end of it, we think we're going to have a really good football player. That's why we signed him today.
Yeah, we think he can help us win games. Just be honest with it. I mean, the stuff that he says is he sits there and he goes, you know, he's going to be a better person. What would you do? Ask him, Kareem, you going to be a better person? Yes, sir. Okay, great. We feel comfortable. We'll get this contract signed and we'll bring you in. But the NFL owners, the NFL general managers, the NFL head coaches, quite honestly, guys, and bear with me on this analogy for a minute here, they're very much like politicians that are following their constituents. And if all the constituents out there are saying, we don't care if guys hit women, we just want to win football games, then that's what these guys are going to do. I ran into a gentleman yesterday, and for a half hour, he talked to me about this situation with Kareem Hunt and Tyreek Hill and how he does not care. He just wants to win. And boy, those are good football players that give us the benefit to win games.
Yep.
And so he's not the only one that's telling me these things, Josh. And he goes, you know, I got a 14-year-old daughter and whatnot, but boy, these guys are such great football players, and we can win games if we have guys like this on our team. That's what football fans care about. They care about winning football games and not kneeling during the national anthem. And other than that, they don't care. It has been shown over years that football fans, to the majority, that speak their minds and vote with their pocketbooks and vote with their eyeballs and whatnot, they don't care what guys do off the field. They don't care if guys are bad dudes off the field. They just want to go out there and win football games. They just want to go out there and win championships. And for my money, you know what? At the end of the day, it is about winning. But at the end of the day, you can win with good people. Look at the Kansas City Royals. Look at Sporting Kansas City. Both teams have won championships. The Chiefs have not won a championship. Both Sporting Kansas City and the Royals have won championships, and they did it with good people. They did it with good human beings. They did it with good citizens. You can win with good people. You don't have to go out and sign guys that are bad human beings like Kareem Hunt was for kicking that girl in the head. You can find another running back out there that can go out there and perform the duties that you need him to perform in order to go out and win games and to win championships. You don't have to have bad people on your team. And I appreciate the Detroit Lions general manager saying that. We considered Kareem Hunt, but at the end of the day, we want good people in our organization because you can win with good people in your organization.
He's made his pick. And football wins yet again. Next.
Fesco in the morning.
Fesco in the morning.
sometimes I feel bad for baseball because sometimes I think you just have to like shrug your shoulders and go, "How are we gonna do?" Football wins again.
Yep.
And football's king. And if we didn't know it, we found out again yesterday, right? Kyler Murray's picking football and not baseball. And not trying to do both.
No, he can't do both. He just can't.
Why not?
Because of quarterback.
I just finally saw that 30 for 30 with Deion. He did both.
Deion won the quarterback.
I know. Kidding. Going to have to return some of the signing bonus.
Almost all of it.
Which would be tough. Like, oh my God, I spent this money.
Well, go sell your car, man.
Sorry, parents. That new house we got.
Yeah.
You're on your own.
Foreclosed.
Mortgage payments are now yours.
Yep.
Sorry. But Kyler Murray is going to have to return almost all of his $1.5 million signing bonus that the Oakland A's gave him last year. He was going to get almost, it was over five total. He was going to get more coming up, you know, once spring training got going,
right.
Get another bonus.
And he
showed
up.
Yeah, he actually showed up to get something. He's not getting that. The A's are going to put him on the restricted list, and they'll retain his rights. And he's doing everything he can to prepare for the NFL draft. He's decided he is going to put all of his efforts into becoming an NFL quarterback.
I hope he does better becoming an NFL quarterback than he did in that interview with Dan Patrick, because after I heard that interview with Dan Patrick, I just decided that I have no interest in Kyler Murray, and I'm going to go ahead right now and call him a coach killer. I think he is going to be drafted by the Raiders and or the Arizona Cardinals, and he will ultimately be a coach killer in the National Football League. I just don't believe that Kyler Murray is good enough on his feet to make decisions as a quarterback in the NFL based on that interview that I heard with Dan Patrick. The guy couldn't answer one question without deferring to his dad or just mumbling to Dan Patrick about whatever was going on. So I think you have to be sharp. You have to be able to make decisions. You have to be quick on your feet when you're a quarterback in the NFL. You have to be like Patrick Mahomes. You have to be willing to improvise. You have to be willing to, you know, go outside the box and think for yourself and do things that are off script. And the impression that I have so far of Kyler Murray as a guy who's a leader of a team is not a very good one. So good luck to you in the NFL. Somebody will draft you, probably top 10, and ultimately that person that drafts you, that team that drafts you, will probably be gone in 3 years, and we'll be talking about Kyler Murray re-signing with the Oakland A's and going and giving baseball another opportunity. I just think right now I'm just not a fan of Kyler Murray in the National Football League, but if all plays out, according to Darren Rovell, he can make $150 million in football over the next 10 years, and he would only make about $60 million in baseball over the next 10 years. And so Kyler Murray is cashing in, and he's going to do a nice job of cashing that check for playing in the National Football League. But I just don't have many high hopes for Kyler Murray as a quarterback in the NFL. And I will say this, he is undersized. 5'7" is not 5'11" or 6 foot or anything like that. 5'7" is still 5'7", and nobody at that height really plays quarterback in the National Football League unless you're going to tailor your offense around him running the football. Every highlight that I've seen so far of Kyler Murray this morning on ESPN is him running. You know?
That's what struck me about him, field level in person, fast. And there are those times you're, okay, are you fast or are you fast?
Well, yeah, are you fast or college fast? You know,
he can fly. And I think he's got a good skill set and all those things, but I'm with you. That interview with Dan Patrick was not prepped well.
Nope.
People,
and winning in the NFL is all about the preparation Monday through Saturday.
The people around him did not have him prepared for that.
Nope.
If you didn't have an answer, if you're going to play football or baseball, don't do the interview.
It's a very and I understand, the question was coming.
And I understand that was kind of a slippery slope probably time. There are probably lawyers involved. There are probably all kinds of things involved. Like, what can you say? What can you not? Are the A's going to sue? You know, do the A's have some kind of countermeasure to hold me, you know, hold you to your contact? How are you going to get out of that? They were probably having some deal, then don't talk.
Yeah, part of the deal is...
Don't put yourself out there, and that, because now...
Well, he probably needed the Gatorade money to pay back the A's, Josh.
Maybe.
You know?
But if he doesn't do that, you go to the combine, you don't have to answer the baseball or football questions.
Right.
He's got that taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
Problem was, everybody saw him stumble through those, and now you got to figure out if he can command a huddle, if he can command a playbook, if he can lead a team, if he can think, like you mentioned, think on your feet.
Because clearly he showed he couldn't think on his feet during that interview.
That was a train wreck.
Oh, my God. It was one of the worst interviews that I've ever seen an athlete do. And we've seen a lot of bad athlete interviews over the years. I think Junior C of E, for me, at training camp, is probably the worst athlete interview that I've ever been a part of. I mean, that was a really, really bad, awkward, he was in a bad spot. A rookie, didn't know what to say, was blinded by the attention and all of that kind of stuff, and he was just a bad spot. And I'll never forget him standing there up in River Falls answering questions or attempting to answer questions, and it was really bad. And I walked away from that going, oh boy, this guy doesn't stand a chance. And that's kind of the way that I walked away from Kyler Murray. Now, maybe he goes out there and proves me wrong, but if I'm a coach in this league and I'm looking for somebody that is going to be my quarterback, you're not just the quarterback. You're not just an athlete. You're the leader. I mean, you are the guy that is going to go out there and command the huddle, be the face of the organization.
I want the it.
And Patrick Mahomes has the it. We're all spoiled now here in Kansas City because that's God's gift from for all of us. I mean, for everybody in Kansas City, God gave us Patrick Mahomes. He's the perfect quarterback. He's got everything you could possibly want. And so, yeah, I am going to compare a lot of young quarterbacks for the next 5 to 10 years to Patrick Mahomes coming into the National Football League and the way that he came onto the scene and the way that the guys talk about him, how he was a leader from day one. You do realize Patrick Mahomes has a C on his chest, right? In his first year as the starting quarterback, he was the captain of this team because he knows how to lead guys, knows how to command a huddle, knows how to go out there and be a true leader. What I saw from Kyler Murray was a guy who was looking for mommy and daddy to give him answers because he didn't know what to do. Are you going to look to dad when you know, a linebacker is barreling down on you trying to sack you? Are you going to look to dad when you're trying to find an open receiver and nobody gets open? You go, dad, what should I do? You have to be able to think on your feet. You have to be able to make independent decisions. You have to be able to improvise. And all of those things that are important of being a successful quarterback in the NFL were not shown by Kyler Murray in that interview with Dan Patrick, who was just talking to the guy.
He's got work to do. And not as probably not as much on the field as being able to handle those interviews at the combine.
I'd rather have him have to do work on the field than the off the field stuff, because I think the off the field stuff's a lot harder because it is who you are. You know?
We're not obviously going to, none of us are going to be in those interviews from the combine. But word leaks out. I'll be interested to hear how what kind of impression he gives people speaking at the combine.
Because this one
was bad. But you don't have that major question there anymore. So maybe he handles the football stuff just fine.
Maybe he does. And we'll see going forward. But if I'm a guy who's interviewing this kid at the combine, I'm going, what the hell happened during that Dan Patrick interview? Why were you deferring to your father all the time? Why couldn't you answer a question to a man behind a microphone who is very unassuming?
Yeah. Just curious.
I mean,
just asking you what was up.
It wasn't like you were sitting there and somebody was screaming at you, pick a spot! You know, like that wasn't going on. He just asked a simple question. How does that football feel in your hand? And from there, you couldn't answer a question afterwards. It was very, very, very damaging for Kyler Murray.
Are you going to the combine?
I don't know.
Well, wait. Dad, is he going to the combine?
No comment.
Dad had no comment there. Pro day?
I mean, that's after the combine.
Yeah, are you going to do a pro day? Yeah? Yeah.
I guess if you want to say yeah, I guess, yeah.
It's okay. You can have a pro day, but
that would imply that I was going to play football.
Okay. So you're going to have a pro day? When do you report for the Oakland A's?
February 15th.
Oh, you knew that. Okay. So you're ready to go to do that. Wait, are you going to spring training?
I don't know.
Wait, you don't know? Dad, is he going to spring training? Another no comment here.
I know.
I'm just saying.
All right. I'm saying that was only a minute. How awkward was
that
minute?
That was a minute. It felt a lot longer.
I know. What if he's sitting in one of those interviews at the combine and does that? I'd be like, okay, we're done. Thanks.
Yeah.
You have nothing to say. We're out. Oof. Gotta do better than that.
Yeah. Gotta do a better job.
Gotta do a better job. You're a quarterback.
You have to be charismatic. You have to be a leader. You have to be somebody that people want to be around. That guy right there, 2 minutes to go in a game. All right, Kyler, what are we gonna do? I don't know.
Couple more, guys.
69306 on the Protein House Eat with a Purpose text line. We will shout it out coming up in just a few minutes, and maybe the Chiefs won't be opening at Foxborough after all. Next.
Will you teach me to football?
Fesco in the morning.
.69306 on the Protein House Eat with a Purpose text line. We will shout it out coming up in just a few minutes. I think as soon as the season was over, we were pretty resigned to the fact that Chiefs were going to open the season at New England. The tradition has become the Super Bowl champions will open the Thursday night game at home. And why wouldn't you have a rematch of the AFC Championship game against the Chiefs?
Because you know the Thursday night game, the first of the year, is going to be watched by everybody because we're so starved with football. And with the 100th anniversary of the NFL, they're going to do something that's pretty cool, I think, for that game. And they realize you can put the Chiefs and Patriots anywhere on the schedule, and people are going to be watching
and
that
it'll
game.
Be a good game for them. Like, this may be the opportunity to move this thing. So Sports Business Journal is reporting that the NFL is actually considering having Bears-Packers at Soldier Field, the Thursday night opener.
Yep.
For the NFL's 100th season in a celebration of the league's history.
Yeah, because it's the oldest rivalry in the National Football League. So I think that's really cool. I saw that yesterday, and I'm like, I'm on board with this.
Good game.
It's a nice game. You know, you got a playoff team,
great
the
history.
Chicago Bears, you know, the obviously with the Green Bay Packers as a national brand. But more importantly, I don't care, you know, what the names of the teams are. It's the oldest rivalry, continuous rivalry in the NFL. I think they played 198 times or something like that. So to have those guys kick off the 100th season of the NFL, I think it makes more sense than anything right now. And so if you're going to change it up, this is the year to do it. And everything in the league this year, Josh, is going to be geared towards that 100th anniversary of the National Football League. And I think that's pretty cool. And so they're talking about the Patriots opening the season on Sunday Night Football in Foxborough against the Giants, potentially. And I don't know how many, you know, eyeballs are going to be glued to that, because the Giants are probably going to get housed in that game by the New England Patriots. But you put the Chiefs game later in the season against New England, and I like it because that could be a game that has home field advantage riding on it. You know, both teams are going to be good again next year. Both teams are probably going to be the 1 and 2 seeds, respectively, in the AFC, barring, you know, something miraculous happening from somebody else, or something happening to the Patriots or Chiefs where they lose unexpectedly or something like that. So you bury that game later in the season, like that same week that we played the Rams out in California. Remember how late in the season that was and how excited people were for that game? You put that kind of Chiefs-Patriots game late into the season, right before the holidays, while people are starting to think about turkey and Christmas gifts and all of that kind of stuff, and you get them juiced by a fantastic game like that on a Monday night or a Sunday night, I think that would be a game later in the season that makes a lot of sense. First place on the line, first seed on the line, home field advantage on the line, almost like a winner-take-all type of game. And I think that really makes sense much later in the season. I know they like to get those rivalries in late in the season, but how cool would it be Pats and Chiefs on the last day of the season in Foxborough for basically playing for home field advantage? That could work its way out very nicely.
And I know the Chiefs won in the opener on a Thursday night in 17, right? But I still hated that game. Like, oh, I don't want to go there so early.
No, but
it worked out the last time. So I'm like, okay, if that happens again, at least there's some history. They've done this before that you know, when it's a day all about that, they wrecked their day that was all about them. Could they go do it again?
Absolutely.
Maybe just as soon get a few warm-up games before that marquee.
But how good is Andy coming off a bye, too? I mean, that's the other thing. You got this game, you know, that would be the start of the season on that Thursday night, the first game. They'll be prepping for that since the schedule comes out in April, getting ready for that game. But I kind of like it later in the season. I'm not going to lie. There could be a lot on the line when these two teams play later in the season that I think everybody's – I'm getting excited right now thinking about a Sunday night game in November with these two teams with home field advantage on the line. How cool would that
be
especially to go up to Foxborough and knock them off in Foxborough and then gain that confidence late in the season that you beat these SOBs, and now they're going to have to come into Arrowhead and play for the AFC Championship game yet again. And so it just gets me excited thinking about the potential and possibilities of how meaningful that game could be, because – As cool as that game was in Foxborough this year, it was early October. It didn't hold the same weight had it been 8 weeks later, and you're playing that game, you know, late November or early December as you get ready to head into the postseason. So the NFL knows what they're doing, Josh. I'm not going to doubt their scheduling. They know exactly what they're doing. They always find a way to pick great matchups together at key times of the year, and they kind of have an idea who's going to be good and who isn't, and it really works itself out. So I'll tip my cap to the NFL on this one and leave it up to them to do all the scheduling, and I know they're going to have some marquee games featuring the Chiefs that people are going to be really, really excited about.
And I'll watch Packers-Bears in the opener.
Of course you will.
It's pretty good one.
Of course you will.
Let's shout it out. 69306 on the Protein House Eat with a Purpose text line.
I'm trying to think if I've ever done like a legitimate tip of the cap to someone in like public. I know I've done it at Royals games
before. Yeah, you know, a guy comes off the mound, is pitching well, and they take him out to a standing ovation, you wave your cap. That's probably the only place that you really truly do a tip of the cap. My daughter had 3 goals the other day at indoor soccer. I tried to throw my hat into the thing, but they got all the fencing around it, you know, the netting.
Yeah, a little difficult to get that, yeah.
Would have been good. Would have been a good one. Let's see here. Home with a darn head cold.
I'll tell you what, man. Every once in a while, I'll get like a what I feel like is a sinus infection coming on. And I go to CVS and I tell the guy, like, I got pain right here. And they give you like a Sudafed or something like that. For me, and I don't know how that works for other folks, it knocks it out right away. I take like 1 or 2 of those and I'm done.
Texture says, these Kleenex with lotion and Vicks are wonderful.
Really? See, I don't like the lotion tissues. I feel like...
they're not as absorbent?
Yeah.
That's the way I feel, too. I keep seeing that that thing advertised on TV that you put in your nose and it, like, shoots water in one side and it sucks it out the
other. Oh, I got one of those. It's great. The Nelly Pot or something.
The Nelly Pot.
Isn't that what it's called?
It's called a Nelly Pot.
Although Nelly should be making money off of this. No, this is it's different because it actually has suction. Oh. And so, like, you put this thing in your nose like this, and then it shoots it in one side. And it sucks it out the other.
Oh.
Into like a basin in the bottom so that I can only assume there's like a swill of your own mucus and water.
I do that. It's disgusting. And plus it feels like water shooting through your brain.
Yeah,
I hate the feeling of it. It's gross, but it works.
It does. It cleans you out.
785 says they were the only dad at gymnastics last night. Heard 2 moms talk about the hot dad being there.
Oh, that's awesome, man. Way to go. That's fantastic.
You're still looking around hoping it's you?
That's awesome, man. High five to you. Get the numbers next time. Say, hey, ladies. Hey.
I still stand by this. I think that the mall play place is a great spot to pick up some trim. Just throwing that
the
out there.
The mall play place?
Oh, yeah.
I know there was a play place at the mall.
Well, not this mall, my mall, not your mall.
In Independence?
That's right.
Like Oak Park
Mall. The Oak Park Mall, they have a serious deficiency in the play place area. Let's just put that out there. There's like 4 toys. It's the size of a walk-in closet.
It's not big, no.
It's not good.
Nice.
Not good at all.
Disgusting germ area. Oh, awesome.
Filth. It's a germ pit, yeah. Ball pits are so gross. It's
called a trim. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah.
Is that something people say nowadays still? I love old antiquated like words for like whoopee. Grandfather has some great
I bet
terms
he does.
For,
we can share them off the air.
For body parts I can't share with you. 913, would you rather have a mediocre burger with perfect fries or an amazing burger with poopy fries?
Amazing burger with poopy fries.
I don't want poopy fries.
If I got to choose one or the other, give me the great burger. You're going there and you're ordering the burger and the fries are the accoutrement.
That is true. IHOP or Perkins?
Why can't you hop to Perkins?
I like Perkins. I'm not going to lie.
Tiger says both.
Yeah.
Mm.
I don't know. IHOP is always sentimental for me. I used to go with my grandpa and, you know, boysenberry syrup, everything. You know, actually, I used all the syrups because they're there.
Boysenberry.
Where else do you boysenberry besides IHOP?
I had a boysenberry beer at New Axiom Brewing just the other day.
All right.
Shout out to the guys
Although
out there.
Although my actual choice would be Village Inn.
So. Yeah. Village Inn is really good, too.
Oh, yeah.
They got pie.
We got great breakfast burritos. 913, this cold weather chaps my love handles.
Well, it'll be good because it's going to be good tomorrow and the next day. We're going to get in the 50s on Wednesday and Thursday. Today, the sun should be out. Like I said yesterday, man, we just got to fight through this last day or so, and we got sun on the horizon for the next few days.
Right, and then like 20, then 20s and snow on Friday. Yeah. So.
Cool.
Welcome back.
707 says, I'm thinking about taking fly fishing lessons.
Where do you do that? That's kind of cool. That's
awesome.
Yeah,
if you can figure out the cast and the rhythm of it, it looks really fun.
Today's National Plum Pudding Day, says someone.
Man, nobody eats that either. Have you ever fly fished before?
No.
I haven't either. It looks very relaxing. Yeah. Like when you go to Colorado and you see just a man in a stream lost in whatever world he's lost in, just fly fishing away.
I just feel like I'd have problems with the cast. I just would never get that.
I think you're good with the wrist, though. That looked pretty good.
816 self-checkout lanes at Walmart. I don't get a discount.
Why would you?
Yeah. They already rolled back the savings.
Yeah, I mean, why would you get a discount? Because it's a self-service checkout lane.
It's not like you had an in for a while.
Yeah.
816 wants to shout out to the William Crispin Lady Bears. Ranked number 3 in the state, took down North KC, number 2 team last night, 55-45. Lady Bears are 20-2
on the season. Wow, 22. That's pretty impressive. Shout out, William Crispin, Lady Bears.
That's right, bear down, baby.
I like that. That's
fun.
Bear
down. It's official. Pancakes and peanut butter. Welcome to the 2019 Royals baseball season. What?
What?
Yeah. pancakes and peanut butter.
Welcome to there was no punctuation. In the
I don't know. Pitchers and catchers report today, and they eat
there's
like
two separate thoughts:
pancakes and peanut butter. Maybe it is two separate thoughts.
Someone
just
think about breakfast, and then also baseball season.
Man, someone wants to know if the word "shart" is allowed on the radio.
Well, I think it is.
I think it is. I just said it. I hope it is.
It can't be you think it is because you just said it. That those two things don't necessarily equate.
That's a good point, Josh. It's a real good point.
Well,
yeah.
It just happened.
That is indeed true. That is shouted out.
I'll let you know at 10 o'clock when Speck gets in.
We'll end on that note. Our key play coming up. A bad look, I guess, for at least one Kansas City neighborhood. And how well do you know your neighbors? We'll discuss next. Time for the key play brought to you by Broadway Deli, the official deli of 610 Sports Radio. Open in the Crossroads, open for breakfast, open for lunch. They will cater breakfast and lunch as well. Check them out, Broadway Deli, the official deli of 610 Sports Radio. Big night last night for Paul George.
George, hounded by Harkless, weaves and darts down the lane, elevates and thumps a big right-hand send-down and plays the crowd. Oh, an explosive surge by Paul George, a ferocious flush.
Thunder Radio Network on the call. Paul George goes for 47 points, 12 rebounds, 10 assists in a Thunder 121-11 win over the Blazers.
9-point win for Oklahoma City, and it's all because of Paul George's heroics with that triple-double last night, as you mentioned. 47 points, man. What a great night for Paul George. 15-26 shooting, dropping 8 three-pointers into the net. I mean, what an incredible, incredible evening.
Shocking anybody else got the ball with that Russ guy on the team.
It's unbelievable. He must have been hurt last night
Russell Westbrook set, meanwhile, an NBA record with his 10th straight triple-double.
I'd not heard that.
Beating Wilt. Huh.
Did Wilt call him?
21 points, 14 rebounds, 11 assists last night for Westbrook. Oh. So, a couple guys getting some stuff done.
Yeah, put that in your pipe and smoke it, Bob.
Two triple-doubles in the game last night. Yeah. That's pretty impressive, man. And they only won by 9.
It took all of it.
Shows you how competitive and good the NBA really is, man.
All
you
of
two
it
guys go for triple-doubles and you only win by 9. It really does show you. Well, the Blazers are good, too. They're 10 games above 500, so it's not like the Blazers are, you know, some kind of schlubs. Lillard had 31 last night, so he was pretty good as well. But it just shows you how good and competitive the NBA is and how guys raise their level of play, because you see what's going on in Oklahoma City with Paul George and with Russell Westbrook last night. If you're playing for Portland, you're like, we got to find a way to answer this, man. This is fun. Let's go back and forth and make this a little bit of a track meet. And that's what they did. And Oklahoma City gets the win, a big win for Oklahoma City when it comes to the playoff seedings a little bit.
A stream of consciousness, I guess, yesterday by one Tambahali, the former chief, who tweeted out some stuff yesterday involving his neighbors and his neighborhood and how he believes no one in his neighborhood will talk to him because he's black.
Correct.
Which is disappointing because he still lives here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he lives in Overland Park.
You know? And he says the only people that go out of their way to talk to him are his Jewish neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
But the people avoid eye contact with him. Not a pleasant face. Feels out of place.
Right.
People don't make eye contact with him. I think somebody came into his property to check out his car tags and make sure all the cars were registered.
Yep. I didn't catch this part. Where does Tambahali live in the city?
In Johnson County somewhere in a cul-de-sac.
Okay.
He says, I'm not sure if it's racist. I'm black. By the way, the only black person in the cul-de-sac. I made efforts to wave or say hi to. Treat your neighbors as you love yourself.
I mean, I'm guessing he said cul-de-sac, so I'm assuming it's Johnson County. He didn't say, I don't think he said exactly where in the city he lives.
Shockingly, these folks who are not black people refuse to say hi except my Jewish neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
Stomach turns watching you do your best rendition avoiding eye contact or even pleasantries as neighbors. I know people claim to do charity work in Africa, but quick to turn their head when they see an African man. I never thought my skin color causes this much tension.
It shouldn't. There should be no tension caused by Tambahali or anybody because of their skin color. You should treat everybody the same way. You know, it just like that bothers me because he is a guy that you cheered for 15 years or whatever it was playing for the Kansas City Chiefs. And now that he's your neighbor, you're kind of giving him the cold shoulder and he believes it's because of the color of his skin. That doesn't sound like a community that I really like to be a part of, Josh. I mean, I don't know if that sounds like a community that you like to be a part of, but I don't want people judging other people in this town based on the color of their skin. You judge them based on their actions, whether they're white, blue, green, black, yellow, mauve, merlot, whatever color they are. And
well, since I've seen a good mauve.
Yeah, mauve is good. She was good on that show, Mauve.
I would never avoid eye contact someone mauve.
No.
For sure.
But, I mean, you're avoiding
eye contact. Because you'd be like, what happened?
It just doesn't.
Are you ill?
Yeah, you're mauve. Right. Are you sick? You're mauve. But it just doesn't make sense to me. Like I can't comprehend and wrap my arms around bigotry and racism and stuff like that. And I don't know what it's like to be Tom Bali. I'm not in his shoes. I can't sit here and say, oh, you're making too much of it or you're not making enough of it, because I don't know. I'm not there. But if he feels like people are avoiding him because of the color of his skin, and that's his perception, then that's also his reality, and that's a bad reality in which to have to live. That's not fair to anyone to be judgmental because of the color of somebody's skin. And this is a town that, you know, in probably about 15 years, 20 years from now, Josh, we may not have any former Royals or Chiefs living here, because guys don't make Kansas City or, you know, their home. They have their homes other places. They just play here. That's just the reality of professional sports now. It's not like back in the day when Split, Freddie Patek, and George Brett all lived here year-round and then stayed here after their careers, or guys like Ryan Lill just staying here after his career because he's from here, or a guy like Dustin Colquitt who will probably end up staying here after his career because, you know, he likes it here. There's not many of those guys left in professional sports. Guys go to Florida, guys go to Texas, guys go to Arizona, guys go to back to where they're from. A lot of guys aren't calling where they play home because they're not there for that, you know, period of time. So Tamba Ali, who did not grow up in Kansas City, did not go to college in Kansas City or anything like that, but played here, wants to call Kansas City his home.
Should feel like he could be adopted as a Kansas City.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. And he feels like he's being mistreated because of the color of his skin. That's really hurtful. That really bothers me a lot. And it says a lot about, you know, people in this town that still have those thoughts that, you know, and I'm sure it exists everywhere. I'm sure racism exists everywhere. I'm guessing it probably does. But I don't want to hear that about the town that I chose to live in, that you chose to live in, that Ryan, you choose to live in. You don't want to hear those things. You don't want to hear that Tamba Ali doesn't feel welcome on his cul-de-sac because he believes that people are judging him based on the color of his skin. I think that's just a very sad, the piece of society that we still have to deal with, that you're looking at Tamba Ali or anybody for that matter and saying, I don't like that person because of the color of their skin. That's not the America I want my kids growing up in. That's not the town I want my kids growing up in. Stop being so judgmental and get to know somebody. You may find out that on the inside, they're a great human being and you're glad you said hello to that guy.
Look, if the conclusion that Tamba Ali is drawn is in fact true and accurate, I wouldn't be shocked by it in the least. Not in this town, not anywhere for that matter.
Right.
But I don't want to just completely rule out the possibility that he just lives next to some snobby, stuck-up jerks.
No, like that. Yeah, sure.
Like, I think that.
Oh, I don't think this paints a brush for the whole community. I think it paints a brush for the people that he believes are by him.
I mean, just for a second, like, let's just suspend the race stuff out of this, and let's just talk about how much you talk to your neighbors.
Not much.
Because, like me, I think I'm the exception to the rule. I know all of my neighbors by name. Like, I know who lives on both sides of me and across the street from me, and, like, I know the kids around my neighborhood because, you know, my kids play with them.
You're yelling at them to get out of your yard.
And I'm yelling at them to get off my trampoline and stuff. Like, yes. Yeah. So I know my neighbors around me. I think I'm the exception to the rule, and a lot of times when I tell people that, they think it's weird. Like, I still eat dinner at the table every night. Like, I still have a lot of antiquated traditions that I still cling on to. I don't think a lot of us, at least a lot of folks out in Kansas City, talk to their neighbors. They don't. They just go in their house and get on with their day.
Well, I mean, you have the electric garage door openers. You open the garage door, you pull in, you close the garage door, and you go into your house.
Now,
you do.
When Tamba says, look, I've tried to be cordial, I've tried to be nice, I've waved and stuff like that. Well, that, now you're just being a jerk. So,
yeah, if you don't wave, if somebody waves to you, you don't wave back, you're just an ass.
I would not in any way just discount the fact that there might be a racial component in it. However, I also think that by and large, people nowadays are just kind of jerks to their neighbors.
And if there's a neighbor code police guy, I wouldn't be shocked either. right?
Yeah, if you're the neighbor that's going around looking at car tags and calling in people because they have an expired car tag, you're a douche.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just really no other way to put it. You're a douche.
Your chance to win a $50 Smokehouse Barbecue gift card. That's right. We give stuff away each and every 7 and 8 o'clock hour on the show just for listening. Find out how in just a couple of minutes. And the dude's breaking down again about Patrick Mahomes. Next.
Fesco in the morning.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.